This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Who's under there, I wonder? I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there, I want to talk about this endlessly with you. Who's under there, I wonder? I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there, I want to talk about this endlessly with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Wrap-Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about Season 9, Episode 9, a.k.a. Masked Singer in Space. Very excited to talk about all these things with you. We have now seen all the performers perform at least the one time. We'll see who made it to the next round and who got cut and what the state of our draft is. I am, of course, your host, Puya the Spray Bottle Zambakili, ready to go back at it once again. And with me, as always, my lovely co-host, the one and only Liana, the annoying Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
This one feels targeted.
I've run out of things to, because I used to like write them down beforehand, but I keep forgetting to.
Yeah, but I ran out of stuff in my room.
And then I wanted to take a shot at you, so I did.
So it is targeted. I see.
Hey, okay, you come up with your own. We've got Liana.
The Nail Techniques Formula 2, Boris.
See, you you didn't come up with anything either.
It was the first thing I saw, okay? Gosh. All right. Yes. So, yes, what was the question again? I'm fine. Thank you.
Yeah, you're fine. Good. Great. Love that for you.
Yeah.
It's done, Liana. We went to space.
Space was great. A little chilly, but that's nice, especially given the fact that it's warming up here, getting to be almost summertime. We made it through all of the performances in terms of the group stage. I know you already talked about that, but it feels like quite a momentous moment now that we've managed to get through everybody. So now what we have looking ahead is really just the redemption bracket or episode or however that's going to work. And then it's the road to the finals. And I'm so excited because, you know, we ended up having these groups be, we didn't have the same thing that we did in the previous season where we had somebody come in and just like completely sweep this whole thing. We've had change-ups like almost every episode, and we haven't had a champion go longer than a 2-episode streak. And I think that that's interesting that they designed it that way, but it's been kind of fun and it definitely keeps me on my toes.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying it every time I plug the show. I think this has been a good season. It's been a fun season. I think we've been enjoying ourselves a lot getting to talk about this season. It's been a good breath of fresh air. There are stuff about the format that I don't love, obviously, but that's to be expected. No season's going to be a guaranteed 100% banger with format and everything,
right,
except for season 2.
And I like this theme of this episode too. I thought this was really fun. We went to space and they had like, it felt fully thought through. Cause look, some of these feel a little bit like, I don't know, what theme do you want to do? I don't know, ABBA. And then they kind of like cobble it together. Like we keep going back to this reference with the child dressed as Napoleon. But here it was like, we had an actual astronaut, right? That's awesome.
Yeah, you're loving the actual astronaut of it all.
He sent the first tweet from space, Puya.
Are you memeing or you're actually impressed?
No, I'm serious. That's awesome. Why would you think I was memeing?
I don't know. It's a tweet.
Yeah, it's cool. Wow. Right.
Well, when we go to bar trivia and they ask you who the first astronaut to have tweeted is, I'm looking at you and you only.
I'm going to be like that guy who was a guest on the Masked Singer.
They're not going to accept that as an answer. We will lose. Good
Mike
to know.
Mike Massimino. That guy.
Well done. You really nailed it there.
Nailed it. Thank you.
All right. So, Liana, we have our final two performers that we hadn't heard yet get introduced in this episode. We are now completely done. All eyes are on what's to come next. So let's quickly talk about that before we talk about this episode. So next week's episode is called The Supreme Six. Now, we kind of speculated what that could be, what that could mean, and we didn't get very far. Now, today, after watching the episode, I attempted to dig and find out what this means and what the episode looks like. And what I found, potentially, because I'm not 100% sure that this is what it is, what I found kind of feels like it is sad. So next week's Supreme Six seems like it's going to be a road to the finals type clip show recap show episode.
Yes. So I pulled the episode description. So the official description is a recap of the journeys of the three remaining champions and the three remaining underdogs. So it's going to be, and that's what makes sense, the Supreme Six. So it's going to be a recap. But then it says a new performance from each of the champions, as well as all new clues and behind the scenes footage. It's tough to know if like there's actually going to be no content in terms of new, like, I don't know. I don't see a lot new here. To me, this screams recap of the recap, like screams, we are road to the finaling it here. So I don't think there's going to be anything new. Definitely, I would say no one is going home. But I think that they must be just moving the recap episode earlier, which, to be honest, I actually think this is the right placement of it because it's been 6 weeks since we've seen some of these performers. So I think, or longer than that. So I think that it's nice that we are going back and doing this recap now. Although I do want to know what's going to happen. So, but I'm happy that at least we get a reminder of who everybody is.
Yeah. So my thoughts on it is that, I'm fine with us getting a bit of a recap because of the way the format is. There's people we haven't heard from since episode 3, right? There's people we've heard once and then they got pushed to the ding dong, keep it on, and that we haven't seen them. So refresher is good for the general audience. I agree. However, I don't love the idea of a non-elim filler week right as the momentum's about to pick up. Right as we're about to get to the, oh my God, okay, here we go. We got all our finalists. What's gonna look like? Who's gonna make it to the final from the wild cards? And I say, like, all right, you'll find out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's understandable because especially you're like, okay, we did all this. Now I'm excited, you know, for like, what are we going to do next? It almost would be better to do that. And then the episode, like a double episode, if possible, if you're going to do a recap, then do it that way, maybe. But I think if you're going to do a recap episode, I would rather have it be here than be like just of the final two. That's boring.
Right. That is boring. But also the other thing that makes me think that next week isn't going to be a whole show with everyone performing is that you can't have it be a recap and six performers performing in a 1 hour show. There's just not enough time. There's no
I don't think it's going to be six. It says a new performance from each of the champions, the three remaining champions, three remaining underdogs. So I think just the three winners.
So like a preview of more the winner's content, but the, I don't know.
I don't know if it's going to be a preview of what they're going to do, or then they had to do another performance at some point along the way. I don't know. Look, we'll see you next week. All I know is that no one's going home, and it's overall probably going to be a pretty boring episode.
Yeah. So if it is indeed that format where no one goes home, we'll see if we discuss it. I'm leaning to likely maybe we take a bye week on the mm-hmm. podcast, but we'll see. We'll find out. You'll know more come to the Thursday morning. We'll tweet it out if we are taking a stop or not. But for now, we've got a whole episode to discuss here. So, Liana, we're in space. You seem to be very keen on this format. And what were your thoughts on Ken being the opener for the show?
Oh, it was so weird. First of all, I liked him as the unidentifying flying object. Then he lands on stage and then he uses like a laser gun. And part of me, I mean, I knew they added the sound effects in post, but like, remember when you were a kid and you would be like, pew, 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 and you would like make those sound effects with your mouth. That's like the vibe that I was getting a little bit. So that was really cute. And then he fought off what I think they tried to pass as aliens, but the backup dancers really just looked more like planets. So it felt like he was an astronaut fighting planets, which I don't know how well that works. But overall, it was totally goofy, so weird. And then, you know, he pretends to be Nick until Nick in his sparkly glasses kicks him off the stage.
Yeah. Space essentially equals silver and aluminum. That's what I've learned watching this episode.
And spandex.
Yes.
Stretchy spandex fabric. That is the outfit of space.
These are the gears you need to be from space.
Yeah. We've learned that. The Chiron Jenny's was wrapped in tin foil again.
That's
so very
funny.
Fitting.
Yeah. I like that. Mm-hmm. All right. So then, Liana, let's bounce into the first performer of the night, which is, of course, your beloved Dandelion, the returning champion from week two. Mm-hmm. And Dandelion's clue package had a little bit more to it this time than last time. We got the zombie again. There was an apple. There was a piano. And there was a dog.
Yes. And then she also talked about how space is meaningful to her. It showed her what she wanted to do with her life. And then the main clue was the laugh emoji on Santa's hat.
Right. Which is, I guess, funny Christmas movie. I don't know.
That's what I thought. I was like, is this supposed to be like a comedic holiday movie? They were like laughing Santa. And I was like, I don't think
are there non-funny Christmas movies? Like, are there Christmas movies that end sad?
Well, I think there's a difference between a happy ending and funny.
But like if it's a happy ending, there's typically jokes along the way. Like there's no like Christmas drama movie where it's just like sad or like uneasy, you know?
I mean, it's the Christmas season. Isn't particularly funny.
I suppose.
So, like, I think
but also, how old is that movie?
Well, I mean, obviously she wasn't in It's a Wonderful Life. But like, I'm just saying there's a precedent for movies that aren't like particularly funny. But I think if you're talking like the Hallmark movie category, those are more uplifting than funny. But like, they're not really funny also. But I have a twisted sense of humor. So maybe they're just not funny to me.
Maybe. It's entirely possible. Now, we get to... Okay, so then the Dandelion performs and it's one of my favorite songs. From a band I really do enjoy, Muse. It's Starlight.
Mm-hmm.
I was very underwhelmed. very underwhelmed. I immediately, the song came on. I know this song. This is a great song. It's a great choice. Love this for you. And then it happened and I felt like she wasn't hitting the notes. She wasn't hitting the high moments. There's a lot of opportunities in the song for your vocals to just take flight. And there was no flying. It felt like, you know, instead of being in a rocket, we were in a zero gravity room and we're just kind of floating. It just wasn't there.
Or like, you know, that plane that you go up and down and then you go up into like zero gravity, but just for a short period of time and then you come back down.
This is a plane that we all have access to.
No, I mean, I think you have to like pay for it, but it's like you go, what's it called? I don't know what to Google. Plane that goes up and down.
Like a carnival ride?
No, it's not. It's not like a carnival ride. It's like a real plane.
I've never heard of this in my life.
Peter would know. Okay, so they're called zero gravity parabolic flights. in which an aircraft alternating upward and downward arcs provide a microgravity environment for scientists to conduct research without going into space. So you go up and down. Anyway, okay, that, you know what? This is a long way to go for a reference. But the point is that I totally agree with what you're saying. And it kind of felt like that for me. It was like we would have moments of like, and then we would kind of like go back down. First of all, I think she sounded totally different to last week, which I felt justified when Nicole was like, she sounds completely different. Thank you, Nicole. I was totally agreeing with the exact same thing. I mean, part of it was that she was playing the piano, and I do use that with air quotes, playing the piano.
Wow, you're trivializing her piano playing.
Did you watch her fingers hit the keys?
No, I wasn't on finger watch, no.
Okay, well, as someone who was on finger watch, paying close attention to the one shot that they had, like, zoomed in, she was hitting, like, multiple keys, okay? So she was, like, she was playing the piano, but maybe she wasn't, like, playing the piano, if you know what I mean.
I don't know if I do.
Okay, well, you know what? That's not important right now. The point is that, like, I felt like it was a totally different style. I mean, I get it. It was a totally different song for her than what she did last week. While I think there were moments that were good, I was certainly more impressed with her last week, and I don't think that this was her strongest showing.
Yeah, I definitely felt like there was a lot left to be desired, but also it was exciting because I thought, okay, we got ourselves a potential battle tonight, because I don't think Dandelion's safe here.
Yes, I had the same thought. I was like, okay, this would be interesting if she can manage to go all the way through. Although it would be weird that, like, I don't know, I didn't feel like three groups in a row, we were going to have the third episode be the person who ends up moving on. So I wasn't completely convinced. I thought maybe there was a way that she in the battle royale could be strong enough to make it to the next round or to make it to the finals, I suppose. But yeah, it definitely wasn't this is a done deal. We're clearly going to have the Dandelion in the finale.
Yeah, the Dandelion, little bit in limbo here, but then we get to the judges. Okay, so then the judges are in awe. You are the first female to ever play the piano on the show. Not since, they mentioned somebody who's been on the show that I forget as of this moment that did play the piano.
The Banana Splits.
Oh, true. Yes. I refer to them as Catherine McPhee and partner.
Not Catherine McPhee and the other guy.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, I said what I said, and I said it loud. but there were very much love in the piano play, which to me felt like, you know, when you have a sandwich and then you're bigging up the tomatoes, it's not a good sandwich. So it's like, oh, the piano, though, like, come on, the vocals are all over there. You need to talk about that. But then the clue was brought up by Rovi the Rover, which I imagine is a machine that was used to, like, be on Mars and stuff.
I doubt that. So I think, who said that it was from Short Circuit 2?
Is that Jenny, a show?
Maybe? No, so there, have you, okay, no, I assume you haven't. So there's a movie called Short Circuit.
Okay.
And then there's a sequel called Short Circuit 2. But Short Circuit was like number 5 is alive. I think that's that movie. Marisa will correct me if I'm wrong. Anyway, so number 5 is like becomes like, it's like an anthropomorphized robot. But I think that was just a joke. I think they like built Rovi the Rover because I tried to Google it and I couldn't find anything useful.
Oh, then it's not. Yeah. If you couldn't find anything, I don't think there's anything to find.
Yeah. There was a, when I first searched Rovi the Rover, I came up with this guy's YouTube channel, Rovi : the Rover.
That'd be that guy's robot they took.
It seems to be more about traveling.
Oh.
So the last video he posted was a year ago and he took a train to New Delhi. So I don't think it's the robot or anything to do with the robot, but maybe I'm wrong.
Okay. Well, we'll find out. We'll find out never, because I'm never going to look at this. Why am I lying to you? Roby the Rover took a long time to bring the clue over, which I thought, my God, couldn't you have dressed up a child as a robot at this point? Like, that would have been faster and more effective.
Okay, but I was totally here for it because of Robin clapping at Ken, being like, first of all, the first thing he said, because I don't know if the Roby the Rover was making smoke or they just had the smoke out on the stage, but Robin was like smoking up the place, like the Snoop Dogg of robots. And then also his quip at Ken that was, this takes longer than Ken's guesses. So here for like Robin Snyder remarks.
Yeah. I did enjoy that. I always enjoy when Robin gets shady. It's always a good time.
Like sassy Robin.
Yeah, sassy Robin Thicke is always the best Robin Thicke. So then the judges had a couple of guesses all over the place. We had Sarah Bareilles by Robin, which was a poor guess. The clue was Space Star.
Yes.
Which...
That is correct.
We'll dig into when the unmasking or not happens later. Actually, it did. Let's not lie to you. There was an unmasking here. We also had Alicia Witt by Ken and then Mila Jovovich by Jenny. Mm-hmm. Was this funny to you that she couldn't say Jovovich? I feel like that is one of the easier things to say.
Jovovich.
Yeah.
I liked Jovovich having the same number of syllables as Dandelion. Was that, I liked that joke, but I didn't care for Jenny's joke.
Yeah, I just thought, this is not funny when you're like, oh, I don't know their name. It's
funny because it's actually pretty, you say it pretty phonetically.
Yeah, I think it's like very easy. I think, when there's two V's especially, I find it very easy to say.
Mm-hmm. I guess the only question is it Jovovich or Jovovich? Because then it would be slightly different, but. Yeah.
Well, she was doing the, do you remember? It's like, well, that's not a name. Jovovich. Yeah. Jovovich.
Yeah.
Jovovich. Yeah. Easy. Again, as someone who's had a name that gets mispronounced often, I found it to be rude. Okay. So then let's flip the script, Liana, and go over and talk about one of the new performers.
Ooh.
Right after this, we'll be right back.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. Say it with me, everybody. I like Lamp. It's time for the Lamp. Liana, what were your thoughts on the Lamp's costume?
Flip the switch. Flip the script. More like flip the switch.
See, if you had led with that, that would have been better.
It's in my brain, like shut off for a second and then it turned back on, much like a light switch. So it took a second. Okay. First things first. I'm the realist. Second thing second, the fact that the light turns on, I don't know why. Like, it's a lamp. It should turn on. But the fact that when the light turned on, I was aghast. I was shocked. I was like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And it's not even, I mean, it's definitely not stained glass. It's like somehow they were able to, it felt like an umbrella kind of structure or something. I don't know. I don't know how they did it, but I thought it looked really cool. And I love the when you turn on the lights, you can see it through the faux stained glass kind of thing. Obsessed.
Yeah, I was a fan. I was a fan of this costume so much so that I did draft this costume into my team.
Yeah,
and I was feeling good. I was like, all right, Lamp, you got this. Let's do this. It's done. I'm feeling myself. Yay. Then we get to the clue package. So the clue package is done by way of the Lamp is a flight attendant. Not so much space, but hey, you're a flight attendant. You're in the sky, space, sky, same. Okay, cool. There was a small warning. There was a Captain Nicole, which was like, all right, you're affiliated with Nicole in some way. There was a mention of senior year. Then there was a cauldron, which in my notes, I wrote Sabrina cauldron. And then there was mention of an energy drink, the King of Hearts. And then they mentioned that they're a teen queen darling. And then there were photos of Ryan Gosling, Mario Lopez, and James Van Der Beek. I already locked my guess in at this point of the show, and I was right.
Yeah, I think the cauldron was actually, it's funny because the cauldron was the thing that I picked up on too as well. And I immediately, that combined, so I noticed the cauldron and then combined with the 90s heartthrob, that sort of put the timing. So then it was actually quite easy. Although I will say, there are a surprising number of shows about witches in the 90s, like Charmed, Buffy, Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah. When Alyssa Milano was guest later, I thought, damn, I didn't think of Charmed. What if I'm wrong? I did get there for a sec.
Yeah. And then I was like, maybe if it's someone younger, what if it's like Wizards of Waverly Place? That was a show, right? About wizards and witches, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, the point is that it felt like there were a lot to choose from. What? Why are you laughing?
You're a wizard, Waverly Place.
You're a wizard lamp. That just sounds like a wizard lamp. Okay. Anyway. Why are you laughing?
Just the idea of a wizard lamp being an insult. Like, no, you're a wizard lamp.
No, you're a wizard lamp, you wizard lamp. Oh, that's a good one. Okay, that's our new inside joke now. 15 max. Okay, so the point is that like once I kind of had it narrowed down to that, then it was just a matter of trying to plug in some of these other things. So the senior year, all these things that you had sort of mentioned, the navigating the silver sky as a preteen, which felt like silver screen as a preteen. So it's clearly someone who's been working since they were younger. So I sort of did the same thing as you. And then it was like, oh, well, Melissa Joan Hart would make a lot of sense, especially because before Sabrina, she had Clarissa Explains It All. So, you know, she's like been in the business for a long time.
You know, I should have clocked the King of Hearts on the mug as Joan Hart, but I didn't. The cauldron is what sealed it for me. And then the teen, it's like teenage done. It's easy. Lock it up.
Yeah. Although I will say, I mean, well, okay. So, oh yeah. Well, we'll talk about the judges' guesses later.
Okay. So then we'll get to the performance, Liana. The song Venus, which I know primarily because in my youth, there was a commercial on TV. The Philips Venus blade was how I knew this song.
Yeah. It was a razor, right?
Yes. The pink one.
I know. That's well, so I think this song was on one of the albums because my parents had a lot of like hits of the X like period.
Okay.
So we had a lot of those albums, and I'm pretty sure Bananarama was on there somewhere with Venus as the song. But I will say that that is not my formative memory of this song. It was those commercials. So that's still what I think of primarily whenever I hear the song, which is so sad. Anyway, my initial reaction was like a double take. Wait, oh, what? She was so good. Really fun. I loved her on stage with the backup dancers. I mean, there's nothing necessarily special about the Razzle Dazzle, but I think the combination of the strength of the performance and then also the backup dancers and everything, I thought it really made for a fun time.
Yeah, I enjoyed this performance as well. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great, but I thought it was good. I thought, okay, you have a shot at the Battle Royale at the very least. And overall, yeah, good times. Good times were had. I think, again, fun song to use. And obviously, Venus, planet, cool, space themed, lovely.
Space, get it? Yep.
All right. So then let's move over to the extra clue we got from the guest of the show. Daphne, how do you say Daphne's name from Melrose Place that I've never watched before?
Oh, but she's from Spaceballs.
That's how you would. When I heard Spaceballs, I'm like, Liana will know who this is.
Yes, which is something I did not expect at all. And I love that the judges were so excited. They were just like, yay, I love Spaceballs. I mean, that's such an iconic movie when you like think about the general pop culture zeitgeist. Melrose Place, of course, but like, if you, especially if you're going with the space theme, to have someone from Spaceballs, I thought was really fun. And then her lower third uses the Schwartz. So it was funny to have that reference as well. It's something I guess I just didn't expect from Fox. So I was happy that they managed to bring her in.
Yeah. So she comes in. The clue itself is CoverGirl on Maxim.
Yes, specifically with Maxim. So that was interesting because when you were kind of going off of the, you know, if you're going to take the list of 90s shows about witches and then you kind of take all the leads, surprising, a lot of them did star in Maxim.
Interesting.
But like, I mean, I've been listening to what's the Girls Next Level, which is the podcast with two of Hugh Hefner's girlfriends that were in the Girls Next Door. And like, I do think back about that time when Playboy and Maxim were like at their height of popularity. And it was like, it was a thing that so many celebrities did. So anyway, the point is that it made sense in retrospect, but I was thinking that it'd be really helpful to for sure, like narrow it down. I was like, there can't be that many. And then remembered that that was like the thing to do at the time.
Yeah. Then we had some of the guesses here. I have two other guesses written down. I have Alyssa Milano from Nicole. Mm-hmm. And then I had Robin jumping between Tara Reid and Ali Larder, which just to skip to the end of the show, three of the four judges guessed the same person and they didn't mention her here. I was like, stop trying to fool us, please.
Yeah.
Just be honest.
Yeah. When three of the four, and then, you know, you've got.
And the fourth is Ken. Just, so he don't count.
You have Ken just goofing around being the odd man out. It's like, yeah, why didn't we hear that name earlier? Especially if the person gets unmasked. Like, come on, bros.
Yeah. What are you doing here? Mm-hmm. So ultimately, good performance, fun. Let's switch over now and talk about the UFO, Liana. Take it away.
First of all, she has so much energy. When she came out on stage, she was running all around and doing all the things. And I was like, okay, this has to be someone younger. So that was the first, or I don't know. We've seen people who are older with so much energy, but I feel myself. I'm like, oh my God, it must be someone younger. Anyway, so, okay. So her clue package. I felt like I was beaten over the head with model clues. So we saw things like strike a pose, no model plane. There were just so many runway in New England. I felt like there were so many things that were just like, oh my gosh, this is someone who is a model for sure. Then a few other things that stood out to me is that, so she seems to be from the East Coast, specifically somewhere in the New England area, because the runway from New England clue was, that was that clue. And then the other things that stood out to me were the tiara. There was an RIP Queen Victoria, which again, sort of a queen reference, like a tiara queen thing. Strike pose, sewing references. Oh, and one wording that stood out to me was my sister ships, which is, I think, what the judges picked up on when they start naming some models that are part of sibling pairs.
Mm. Yeah. So I also felt like there was a lot of that tiara, the RIP queen. Mm-hmm. Then later, what was the extra clue that was given to us? It was the planet wide. I also thought someone in the model realm. However, I don't know a lot about my models or the pageant scene of any kind. I think this could be someone who ran for a Miss World or Miss Universe, potentially.
Based on how they're like known globally or whatever.
They're known globally. Yeah, the clue was space wide, planet wide specifically, which to me means like it could be someone who then, you know, ultimately competes in a Miss Universe after winning like another pageant type of thing.
All right. Who is Olivia Culpo?
Don't know. Why would I know?
So I Googled models, Miss Universe, sisters. And the top four results are all about this woman who I've never heard of. Culpo. Mm-hmm. Olivia Culpo says sister dresses up with Miss Universe crown. Olivia Culpo and her sisters star in new TLC series. So, all right. So she is an American model, actress, and internet celebrity after winning Miss Rhode Island, was on to crown Miss USA and then Miss Universe in 2012. Does she sew?
You don't have to sew.
Well, the sewing was in the clue package.
Okay. Here, what's her middle name?
Her middle name is Francis.
Okay. I was hoping you'd say Taylor, and then I'd be like, see, sewing machine, Taylor sew.
Wait, that's so smart. I mean, it's not right, but like that would be so smart.
That's just how my brain works. Yeah. Wow. I mean, could be. But I do think for me, if we're looking model, we have to look at a model with like an accolade of winning a thing, I think.
All right. Miss Universe Sisters. Maybe it's not sisters. Miss Universe Model.
Wasn't it Sistership?
Yeah, Sistership. Okay.
So you are looking at this too familiarly, because I feel like, you know, you in any, if you're a part of a football team, it's like, yeah, those are my brothers. If you're part of any team, it's like, that's my team. So to me, I don't necessarily think it has to be familial. I think it could be, you know, just something you go through with other people on your level.
Okay, let's see who are the Miss Universe winners from the States, right? Because we know she's American because she's in the Northeast, right? From New England.
New England was mentioned.
Yeah, from the East Coast. So let's look up Miss Universe winners.
Okay, we don't need to do this, Liana, because we're not going to solve this right now. And this is someone who's going to make it further. So I don't think we need to spend time doing weird second by second Googling of, all right, Miss Universe ate lasagna at 4 p.m. on March 8th.
Okay, but I'm just going to tell you, that's how I get most of my guesses. That is my strategy. Also, by the way, the most recent Miss Universe from the United States. She's from New Orleans, though. Oh, no, wait. Venue of competition. Okay, whatever. Anyway, the point is that I think we're onto something.
We are on to something.
It could be Rabani Nola Gabriel. She's from Houston, Texas. Oh, she's from Houston, Texas. All right. Well, Liana, anyway. Yep.
Tell us about the performance.
Okay. So it was Coldplay, Yellow, and you could tell she was a little nervous when she got started, but oh my gosh, this ended up being so good. I think she got better as she went along. You know, it's again, one of those performances where it's just her up on stage, the smoke. Robin described it as very pretty, and I would co-sign that. It just felt very pretty. And maybe I was predisposed to think that because I was thinking model based on the clue package. But I thought that the descriptor really fit.
Yeah, I feel like every now and then we get a performance that should, instead of a ding-dong keep it on, it's more of a boo-hoo go home bell, mm-hmm. where the minute someone nails it like this, just send everyone else home from the group, because they're not going to win. Simple as. They're just not. And mm-hmm. this was one of those performances where I genuinely loved it. I was swept away. I thought that she did incredibly. And like you said, she was nervous at the beginning, but then it just picked up and up and up. And I just felt like it kept getting better. So to me, this was a curtains call. Like, it's donezo. Why are we doing this? Stop. Go home. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you felt like she saw in this moment, you feel like she outperformed both the lamp and the dandelion?
Easily.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I think she did the strongest. To me, it didn't feel like necessarily a runaway at this point in the game, but I can definitely see that perspective.
Yeah, I just thought of the three, this was easily the number one performance of the night.
To me, the crowd, it felt like the crowd was cheering for her extra hard after she finished.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, like it felt like the crowd kept cheering for her. Mm-hmm. You know, because how like when there's a performance and everybody's like, yeah, that's great. Or they're like, woo, yeah. It was like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then I'm confused because then you're insinuating that it wasn't the best of the three.
No. I'm saying that I think the audience also really liked it based on the cheering.
What did you think?
Of those cheerometers, I think it would be higher for the UFO than the other two. Well, I thought that the lamp. So based on this, I thought they were initially, all the three performances together, I thought, wow, they're all really good. The dandelion was probably the worst. So I think in my head, I had just sort of allotted the UFO and the lamp to go on to the battle royale. And then because I didn't feel like one did so much better than the other, I felt like it would come down to the battle royale.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Yeah, I also felt like it was going to be those two at the Battle Royale. And but to me, I felt like it's done. Like, just give it to the UFO. Don't put the lamp through this. It's not worth it. So yeah. Okay. Mike Massimino comes out with the,
yes! mentioned,
the astronaut.
Okay, I sent you, can you look at something I sent you in the chat?
It's a family portrait of
him with his family. It's, why is he's in like complete
astronaut
space garb, like, yeah, astronaut, like full suit. And then his children are just like chilling.
Okay, is there a problem?
I don't know. It made me laugh because he's not matching the rest of them. His wife is, I assume his wife and child are wearing just like cute little summer dresses and he's in full astronaut garb.
Yeah. How, first of all, how else would you know he's an astronaut? Second,
give him one of those little NASA jumpsuits, the orange ones, because he's in full white, big ass, like he's about to do a spacewalk suit.
Yeah, this is clearly about him and not the family, this photo.
Okay, you know what we should do next time? And by next time, I mean the first time we ever get family portraits done, we should dress in our full work garb. So you'll bring a little microphone and you'll have your little headphones and I'll wear a lab coat.
No, I will look like a loser in this portrait. That's why.
Why? You're going to look cool and I'm going to look like a cool nerd.
I decline your offer.
Okay, well, just think about it. Just consider it.
Your outfit is an outfit. Mine is props. Like, I have to hold up a microphone and then wear what I usually wear.
No, you'll wear your branded stuff. You'll wear your Puya hoodie.
My merch?
Yeah, you wear your merch. And I'll have a lab coat.
I think you're maybe downplaying how you don't see that I look like a loser in this photo.
I think you're going to look cool. You can wear your blue light glasses. You'll look cool.
I don't like this. Right. I don't want to
consider it. Consider it as an option.
I'll think about it.
Okay, fine. Then what do you want our family portraits to be themed?
I feel like family portraits are typically the theme rights itself. It's a meme of its own.
Oh my God, we could do themes based on the Masked Singer. We could do like ABBA portrait night and space portrait night and Muppet portrait night.
Why are we acting like we're ever going to do a family portrait?
I'm just saying if the opportunity presents itself.
What, like we're at the mall on a Thursday at 3 and then we walk by a photo place that's like empty?
Yeah, you know how much I love planned, spontaneous fun.
So... But it's not spontaneous if we have to bring props.
Yeah,
or am I gonna detach my microphone and throw it in the trunk just in case we land somewhere that's gonna have a portrait opportunity?
Yeah.
And you're gonna bring your lab coat just in case?
Okay, well, we're not doing the profession one in this particular circumstance, but we could prep for like space themed.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just have a lot of sparkles and foil and stuff in the trunk of the car. Easy, easy peasy.
You're messing with me, aren't you?
I just think at some point we should get family photos.
I'm game for a family photo. Make no mistake.
Okay, then come up with a theme because I feel like I'm
doing
the
whole legwork here. Why do they have to have themes?
I don't know. Don't they have to have themes? I thought that was a requirement.
Says who?
Says people.
Who is people? But put me in contact with these people that have told you need a theme, otherwise you can't have a photo.
Well, I don't know, like the internet.
The internet has told you have to have themes for photos.
I think you do.
Go to anyone's Instagram page.
Yeah, but the theme is like leaves or like fall. I'm not saying they're exciting themes.
The only time in my existence that themes have come into play is at parties where there's a theme for dressing up. There's a dress code of like, okay, we're doing a 90s party. That is the only time. Or Halloween party, obviously. It's like coming in a costume.
Yeah. It's the same thing, but just for photos.
I've never been a part of a photo where they're like, all right, come dress like fallen leaves in the autumn.
Well, we had some family portraits when I was growing up, and my sister and I are both in like these like yellow floral dresses. So that was like floral Easter Sunday church kind of theme.
Yeah, your family would do that. But what I'm telling you is not as common as you think.
Oh my God. Did I tell you about the time when my mom and stepdad dressed up in exactly the same outfit to pick me up from the airport?
You did. And I don't know if I understood it. You want to explain it one more time for the audience?
Yeah, they went to Target or like to Walmart or something and bought identical matching outfits. So they bought like khaki pants and the same like cheap sneakers and the same striped shirt. And they were exactly matching. And then they showed up at the airport to pick me up.
And how did that make you feel, Liana?
I have a weird ass family, but also I would totally do something just like that.
So when you come pick me up, are you going to be like, oh, I'm going to theme it up for this pickup?
I'm big on themes, baby.
Apparently, I'm learning about you today.
Yeah. Anyway, I digress.
Oh, yeah. Back to the podcast. This isn't even, I thought we are not off the air. So let's see. Yeah, they mentioned, I don't like to brag. I'm not known just in America, but the whole galaxy, which again, mm-hmm. I think Miss Universe, if we're looking at a model, that's where I'm going. So we get to the results of the night. Dandelion does indeed get unmasked without making it to the battle royal. So I watched mm-hmm. this with my community. I have a watch party on Thursdays and mm-hmm. people were shocked. They thought that it should have been the lamp here instead of the dandelion. I disagree. Here's why. Last week we had a performer make it to the next round. Get Ding Dong Keep It On because they switched it up and did a musical-y number, right? Mm-hmm. In this one, I felt like there was a switch up, but it was a downward trajectory switch up. It wasn't a, oh my God, I didn't know you had this in your arsenal. It almost felt like the dandelion threw their voice and like did worse on purpose. I don't think it was good. I think picking a song this big and then not hitting it was not ideal.
Mm-hmm. So wait, you by the dandelion, you mean the lamp?
No, I'm talking about the dandelion.
Oh, you're talking about the final decision of like
I'm saying
why.
The final decision was right because if you're picking, it's like if you're picking a big song like this that has mm-hmm. high ceiling vocal places you can hit and then you don't even touch the ceiling, that's not good. And then also that compounded with the they felt like your voice was different and you got eliminated, that's not a good thing. That means that they mm-hmm. didn't think it was a good different. Whereas last week, even though I didn't think so, they felt like that was a good different. The sing-songy thing worked for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think, it's tough to know with the contracts. Like, I wonder if they wanted to move on or not. But I think maybe they wanted to try something new. I mean, they were someone who was so incredibly passionate about being there. You can tell. So I think it was just, I'm making a creative choice and it didn't work out.
Yeah, I would co-sign that as well. So Liana, do you want to go through these judges' guesses?
Okay, so yeah, well, I mean, we had a lot stay in common. So we got the Sarah, the dandelion. Sarah Bareilles from Robin, which Robin said something I didn't get here because of my education. I don't know why.
Borealis. That
also made me laugh. I wrote that down.
He said Borealis.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah.
That's funny. See, he's funny.
So you got
and
it.
Then, yeah, okay, I got it. And then, but I didn't get that he said Borealis. I just wrote down Sarah Bareilles. I must have somehow my brain like opted out of that. For a moment. Emila Jajavja from Jenny. Nicole said Zoe Deschanel. And then Alicia Witt from Ken.
Yeah. And in a very rare incident, Ken Jeong got it right. It was Alicia Witt from the zombie show Walking Dead.
She's been in a ton of stuff. So she has starred in 8 Hallmark Christmas movies, which explains the
that explains that yes.
Santa thing. She was in Vanilla Sky. She was in 2 Weeks Notice. She was in Last Holiday. She's been in like a ton of stuff. She's also been described as a musical protege, as an accomplished pianist, singer, songwriter.
There you go. Yeah, and again, did pretty decently on The Masked Singer. So congratulations to Alicia Witt. It was fun. Mm-hmm. Ken did jump around a lot in Celebration.
Oh, he was so excited. I think she could have gone further. I think it was just an odd choice.
I think the choice is also was the undoing here. Yes, I agree with mm-hmm. that. And then we have the Battle Royale. We're doing Rocket Man by Elton John. which is very great and top choice for if we're talking space theme. That's good. The lamp did fine. It was okay. It was good. But then there was the one line that says timeless in it. And that line was butchered. She botched it so bad. And I went from, you're doing all right, ooh, it's over. Before even there was one note sang by the UFO. And then the UFO did one note and it was done even more.
I know. I felt exactly the same way. It just felt like she bodied her, like completely bodied her.
Again, I think there needs to be a mercy rule, a bing bong go home that needs to get pressed when there's something this obvious about to happen.
Yeah. So. I mean, they did end up bing bong go homing it. So like it didn't have to last that much longer and necessary for a mercy rule, but I totally get what you're saying.
Yes. So ultimately, everything we predicted comes true. The UFO wins. The lamp gets eliminated. The lamp has three guesses on Melissa Joan Hart from the judges. Mm-hmm. One that was Michelle Williams from Ken ended up being Melissa Joan Hart, of course, from the Sabrina the Teenage Witch fame and many other things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Ended up being correct. I mean, again, the fact that we saw three of the judges guess the same
thing. Like, y'all just say it when you think it. I don't like that you hit it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it pretty much just gave it
especially
away.
Especially when
I mean,
like majority of people's first guess would have been right as well.
So, yeah, I mean, she, similarly to the dandelion, felt like she was excited to be there. She talks about how she wanted to overcome something, never saying in public. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention this earlier. She was also on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, there you go. So, we got to get one of those in there per season, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
So that brings us to the end of the show. Like we said, next week is Supreme Six, which could be a filler show. And if it's not really going to have a lot of content, we might skip it and compound it to the next episode after that. So stay tuned for that. If you were trying to see what the draft situation is, I would say, don't be mean to me because you know, you're only saying that because I'm losing. Cause we all know I have one, Liana has four and Medusa is standalone. So to recap, I have the California role who are one of the three finalists at the moment. Liana has the Macaw, and now the UFO, who are also finalists. And then in the wild cards, Liana has the Gargoyle and who was the one last week?
The Mantis.
Mantis. Liana has the Mantis and the Gargoyle. And then Medusa is in the wild cards also.
Okay, so yes, technically on paper, I have more people, but I would not count out the California role.
I'm not saying I'm dead in this draft. I still have one and I have a very strong one. So anything is possible. These things are true. However, I would be remiss if I didn't at least be like, yeah, it's looking tough for your boy. A little bit.
Yeah. A little bit.
But
statistically, you're a little bit out in the numbers.
Right. Well, statistically, this has been a very fun podcast. And we thank you for your Googling and we thank you for the story about your family. We thank you for considering family portraits, even though we're not going to do them. And Leon, it's always a fun time talking to you. Where can people find you? What else do you have going on?
Okay, first of all, I'm looking through some old family photos just to see if we had any other ones. There's a family photo of us all wearing those glasses, like the ones with the fake mustache and the nose. Like the Groucho Marx, like glasses.
Yeah, but I feel like those were big in the 90s. Yeah, I was going to say, makes sense that you're a baby.
Yeah, so they put one on me as a baby. And then also I forgot that as a teenager, we competed in a bike race and we were Team Red Bunnies, but we couldn't fit Team Red Bunnies on the form. So we were Team Red Buns and we dressed in like complete red jumpsuits and we had little bunny ears and little bunny tails.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, cool. You can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP, podcasting about, of course, the what am I doing? Puya, help me.
Drag race.
Yes. Okay. Drag Race is going on. We are almost done. We have one episode left. It is the finale, and we will have a winner to season 15. I'm so excited. We didn't release a podcast last week because we did a quick coverage of the reunion, but we're going to merge it with the finale coverage, and then we're going to release that all as one. And then, Pooya, do you want to talk about the BNB?
Yes. So your regular co-host, Mike Bloom, is away for the week, which means you needed to bring in some reinforcements. And luckily for you, I am incredible, and I will be filling in the very big shoes of Mike, and not because he is a clown and clowns have big shoes, but because he's incredible and he has big shoes to fill. I'll be filling those shoes with the lovely and too smart Peridium. We'll be joining you and maybe taking over as a RHAP PNP, perhaps.
Yes, it's the PNP. The PNP.
The Vatter theme song. We're just ripping off the Taran show theme song for that.
Well, you guys can work it out. That's up to the two of you.
All right, we'll figure it out. I should have thought of that sooner. Come in with a parody.
Still have time.
But yeah, we'll see. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, I'm actually really excited. I've kind of felt bad at first that this is the episode that the two of you are going to have to cover with me.
Could have been better.
I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty to discuss, right? Which is always a good thing, ultimately. Yep. Silver linings and all. So we'll take it. And is that all of your plugs, Liana?
Yes.
All right, well, thank you for that. I'll add on to those plugs. Liana and I were also on a Big Brother Canada recap this week with Rob and Chappelle. That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. That was Tuesday's recap. If you're looking for that, check it out. And as far as Big Brother for me, I'll be back on Friday at 3 to talk about the digital daily drop that they're going to give us for that day. Should be fun. It's been an interesting journey in the house so far. So we'll see how that pans out. You can find that, of course, over here on the Rahab Ups Network. And I talk about a little show called 90 Day Fiance. It's been a very fun season of that for me as well. I've been blessed with fun shows right now. This week, I had the lovely Brian Scally on with me to talk about this latest episode. So you can check that out as well. That is available in your pod feeds. If you're looking for me in other places, you can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya, just my first name. Come through, say hi, would appreciate it. And if you're looking to leave us ratings and reviews, please do so over on robiswebsite.com/maskedsinger. That's MASKEDSINGER. We do love a good bit of feedback and would love your ratings as well. Please go ahead and share those with us. But for now, this is all we've got for you here today. We hope you had fun with us. Maybe we'll see you next week. We might unmask you then, but if not, we'll unmask you in 2 weeks. But either way, someone will get unmasked. Take care, everyone. Have a good week. Bye.
Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this and